Next on BYUSN, the world of revenue sharing upon us in college sports. What does this new world mean for BYU athletics? We sort out how this could affect the Cougars and all of their teams moving forward.
Men's Hoops locks up their guy Kevin Young, gets an extension that keeps him in Provo for the foreseeable future and what it means for the next generation of Cougar Hoops.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back. How was Italy, man?
It was bellissimo.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you say hi to Davide Gardini for me?
You know, I thought about him multiple times. Not a joke. I thought about Davide on several occasions and wondered where he was and how he was doing. I tried to find the Pope to discuss the Villanova-BYU men's basketball matchup on November 3rd.
He's
unfortunately, he was, he could not meet with me in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Outside of that, no. Just a whirlwind of art and history and
That's
culture.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. The team is back together. My name is Spencer Linton, by the way. For those of you that have forgotten me, this is Jerem Jordan, and he is a man
who... I thought
who,
it was Spender this whole time. My bad.
Well, there you go. Now you learn something. Yeah. I believe you just renewed your subscription to the... Let me get this right. Lubbock Avalanche Journal as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't know that Avalanche was in a newspaper name, but it is. So the Lubbock Avalanche Journal submitted a Freedom of Information Act to see the referee communication between the Texas Tech-Colorado game, the teams and the refs last season. They somehow got the Utah questions from the BYU game.
Interesting.
So the officials disagreed on five of the six calls. The one that they agreed on was an incorrect jersey number identification.
Oh, it wasn't the hold?
Sense. So fourth and hold. Here's what Utah said. Would like clarity as to the penalty for defensive holding by number five. The contact occurs near line of scrimmage, does not impeded the wide receiver ability, I'm just reading it verbatim, to progress vertically up the field. So then the ref said, QB looks to number five immediately after snap as receiver moves to go around the defender grabs the receiver, prevents it from running his route, correct call.
Mm.
So fun to kind of just get that information. I imagine BYU has had similar questions in other games, right? But that call of note from Utah to BYU is fun to read.
Ruled to be the correct call. Shout out to Lubbock newspapers.
The Lubbock Avalanche Journal. Didn't know it existed. Now we do. We're learning things.
It was the correct call. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Kevin Young in his first year. What a smash hit hire. We already knew he was a great hire. This has been validated. Unbelievable.
He is the special sauce. He is the secret ingredient. It's not anything else. It's not NIL. It's not facilities. All that matters, Kevin Young is the secret sauce.
Kevin Young and the Cougars are for real.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU has locked in their head basketball coach on the men's side for the foreseeable future. Hopefully that's a very long foreseeable future. Jerem, first and foremost, I know that it happened a few days ago, but this is our first opportunity to really dive into this and discuss what it means. How do you read into Kevin Young getting an extension after just one season as the head coach?
After just 1 year is wild, right? That means there was great interest in Kevin Young outside. And the outside entity was the Phoenix Suns. They offered him anywhere we've heard between $10 and $14 million to be their coach.
Per year?
Per year. That is a lot of dough. Yet, Kevin's staying at BYU. That means he wants to be here and BYU wants him. We don't have the terms. We don't have the amount per year or the length of the contract. But this we know, Kevin Young and BYU are a great fit right now. Kevin Young wants to be at BYU because he clearly could have bounced and been back in the NBA. But he talked a lot when he was hired at BYU about why he came down from the NBA to college. And that is a move down. That is a step down. But is it a step up in quality of life? He has talked about that. The amount of games are fewer. The amount of practices are more.
Sure.
You get to develop your group. He's now building something really special here in Provo. National analysts are talking about that. I thought this was a big deal when Brian Santiago was hired on May 13th. In the media scrum, someone said, what are the first couple of priorities for you? And he said, locking down Kevin Young.
Yes.
That means they were in the middle of the Suns kind of reaching out trying to get Kevin. And Kevin, as he should, probably listened and probably heard some nice numbers, but BYU and Kevin made it happen, which is awesome. Can you imagine all of this momentum being blown up after 1 year? It would have been terrible.
No.
But Kevin says, nope, I'm going to stick at BYU. And he is going to be here for the foreseeable future, which is great. And I'm glad that all parties made this happen, because the combination of Kevin Young and his staff with competitive NIL have put BYU in a place they've never been.
There are two things that every BYU fan should take from this happening after 1 year. You mentioned the first easily, that there was clear interest from the Phoenix Suns, from the NBA in general, in what Kevin Young has to offer. Big money is there. It would have been there had he not chosen BYU, but even bigger money now.
Yeah, he turned down the Nets, essentially. He could have had the Nets job.
He wants to be at BYU. Every BYU fan should know that Kevin Young wants to be at BYU.
Thank goodness.
Because he is back. And you talked about Brian Santiago the day that he was officially hired as the athletic director. When he walked in here, and even after he left, I know he mentioned it in the media scrum, but to us he said, gotta keep our basketball coach. We got to keep our basketball coach.
They were in the middle of those conversations then. That's what that means.
And they figured it out.
Thank goodness they did, man.
That's a major win for BYU athletics.
Absolutely. And if you're Kevin, I mean, think about it too. If you get paid, the equal to the ratio of the amount of fewer games that you have next to the NBA, like, that's worth it. And quality of life. And we learned this weekend from J. Drew of the Deseret News, the Youngs are expecting a fourth child, a second daughter.
Awesome.
Congratulations to them. That's great. There's a lot to earning a certain amount. But for Kevin, he's identified that, quality of life is important. And at BYU, he's getting to do some things that he didn't get to in the NBA. He's not traveling as much. He's able to practice with his team. His brother's on the staff, which is probably really fun. One of the best guys at recruiting in the country, if not the best guy. And so life's good right now for Kevin Young. Life's good for BYU men's basketball as well.
The continuity that will remain in place, I cannot overstate how important that is for BYU basketball right now.
Coaching staff stayed in place. The football coaching staff has stayed in place. That all matters. That all really matters. And I can see the argument, well, if no one leaves, were they that good? Shouldn't they be poached? Well, what if they love it here? And what if they're compensated at a level that's good enough for them? It's great to have that continuity, which is awesome. So I'm stoked, man. I wasn't ever super worried that the Suns would poach Kevin Young. But when you start to hear some of the numbers, you just get a little nervous where you go, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of dough. And Kevin Young chose to stay at BYU. So I'm a happy camper today.
Kevin Young and BYU into the foreseeable future. Now, what that future entails as far as general college athletics goes, that is an ever-changing world.
Yes, it is. And I do want to declare publicly, if I am ever offered $10 to $14 million, I will leave BYU TV. I'm just saying right now. That much money, I'm gone. A new era of college sports is upon us. The much-lauded house settlement passed here. So here's what it means for college sports. Schools can begin paying players on July 1st. They can offer up to $20.5 million to current student-athletes. They are still not employees. That number, by the way, of 20.5 increases incrementally over the next 10 years.
Okay.
There will be $2.8 billion of damage back paid. I assume that's from the NCAA paying back, not the schools themselves.
Dating back to
2016. Why is it 2016? That's just the people that sued were 2016
Maybe.
On? No limits on scholarships. There are roster limits. Essentially, you can have more scholarships if you want.
You can scholarship every player that is allowed to be on the
roster. So, for example, men's volleyball is 4.5. If BYU wanted to, they could go up to 18. That's not happening, but it's 18 now, which is, there's pros and cons here, which we'll get into. Payments go to all sports, but don't have to be equitable. So you could go way in on football, men's basketball, and less on the other sports, which is what most schools will do. NIL must go through, deals must go through a clearinghouse called NIL Go. Must be, quote, fair market value, not pay for play. The pay for play is the rev share, not the NIL deals, by the way. College Sports Commission, this is the thing that was created. They'll oversee and enforce revenue, sharing cap, NIL, clearinghouse, roster limits. They'll be the bad cop, essentially.
So
they're run by the power conferences, independent of the NCAA.
They take the place of the NCAA in governing this.
Good for the NCAA. Brett Yormark said the following, Big 12 commissioner. As we enter this era of college athletics, it is crucial we do so with structure, transparency, and the success of student-athletes in mind. This settlement and new model will ensure that happens. I look forward to working alongside my colleagues to implement this new system that prioritizes fairness and opportunity for all student-athletes and institutions. BYU, for its part, has been meeting for months in preparation for this. In fact, they were even meeting today Going on details. Make sure everyone understands. Proceeding. How are we doing this? Those meetings continue with athletic administration and coaches. Of note, Brian Santiago has been at the forefront of all of this conversation with BYU prior to this.
From day one.
And he understands it. He's the guy moving forward as well. So, what does this mean? I just said a lot of words. What does this mean?
Well, it means that every athletic department in the country, including BYU, has the ever-delicate and tricky challenge of how to slice up your $20.5 million total dollars per year among all your teams.
And that's assuming you opt in, and BYU is opting in. Some teams can choose to opt out if they want.
Brian Santiago and the athletic department said that they will absolutely opt in and be very competitive. Their words,
yeah.
We will be very competitive on this front. They did not say, we're going to spend the full $20.5 million every year. That's for them to decide. And
I would imagine they would.
But they just said, whatever, however you want to translate, very competitive as, that BYU will be in that category. And to your point, they've been deciphering how to do this probably for a year plus now. They've known
years.
This was in the works.
Yeah.
This isn't like, oh, no, now what do we do?
Right.
BYU has a plan. Mm-hmm. They've had a plan for a long time,
yep,
about how to divvy things up and what to do with scholarships. We don't know the particulars and the details. We'll probably find at least some of those out from individual coaches and teams as we move forward, as far as scholarships goes and how they manage their rosters. But they've had a plan in place for a long time. So again, I know this is really a venture into an unknown world of sorts, but BYU, to their credit, this is what they do, Jerem. This is what BYU does. They have a plan. They have
what
committees.
What are the rules?
They have really smart people.
Will operate well within that space.
So what this means for BYU is that they want to be at the forefront of collegiate athletics, and they know what that takes. So I would anticipate that they're all in on rev share and that the NIL deals, which, are again, are separate. Those have nothing to do with this $20.5 million pay for play. NIL is totally separate for businesses with the individual athletes. You can combo those if you're a superstar athlete and make a nice living. But I do know that BYU, and I believe that BYU is fully invested.
Thanks, Bronco.
Interesting phrase. Into being at the forefront of collegiate athletics.
Absolutely. If you talk about winning, then you have to be all in. And BYU wants to win so that the message of BYU and the church are relevant. If you don't win, people don't pay attention as much. So that matters. So the Cougars, remember, 20 and a half. Wow, that's a lot of money. Where's that coming from? BYU gets a full share of the Big 12 TV contract starting this year, 31.7. And it's about up to what's been estimated by Brett Yormark, around $50 million after all the revenue of conference championships, March Madness, corporate sponsorships from the league, and so on and so forth. Then there are donors and what you raise yourself. So where is that 20 and a half coming from? It's from there. Then there's NIL. If there are donors who want to contribute to football, men's basketball, and otherwise, they do, and they have been. And the donors, we shout out to you. You've been making BYU awesome, and it's great. So there, stuff's expensive to pay Kevin Young and his staff in football and have great Olympic sport coaches. That costs money. Facility upgrades, big staffs, recruiting, and so on and so forth.
And all of those things are happening.
All those things are happening, right? So BYU is going to be in the mix, which is great. What the NCAA does not want anymore is the under-the-table deals. In fact, this College Sports Commission, my understanding is if there is a deal that is they discover was under the table, didn't go through the clearinghouse, and I believe it's over $600, you got to basically declare it. And then there's fair market value of NIL deals and so on and so forth. They assess those. If those are discovered, that amount comes out of your rev share cap.
Mm.
So then you would be punished in that way. I don't know what other sort of suspensions or whatnot could be levied. We'll figure all that out. That's the least interesting part of this entire equation of what we cover is when someone does something wrong,
this
then
is the
what?
Penalty.
Like, just tell me what happens. I don't care to.
So I mean, let's say,
there.
Hypothetically, this committee could say, hey, we discovered that you
gave so and so $1 million under the table.
Okay,
that's from SEC school.
We're going to penalize you $3 million from your rev share
for
doing that.
I thought it would be the amount that they made.
Oh, is it the exact amount?
I think. But again, we'll get into these details. But like you said, BYU is opting in completely. The donors, Cougar Nation, has been amazing. They're amazing NIL, Royal Blue Collective, Coug Connect, and so on and so forth. Other NIL donors, they've been doing a great job
yes.
to make sure that football, men's basketball, and other sports are competitive. And I'm excited about it. Certainly, I am not in the the old head way of saying, well, this isn't what it used to be. That's exactly right. Adapt or die. This is how it is now. We got to go with it. Or what good does murmuring do for anybody? Come on.
It's probably going to get more expensive to go to games as part of this.
Yes, I think Dave McCann had a good quote over the weekend. He was talking to ESPN The Fan, and he said, if you want a country club-like experience, you pay country club-like prices. Mm. And he said it's tough because there have been a lot of BYU fans that have been there for a long time, and it is a new era, certainly. We acknowledge that. And we're not two to talk. We don't sit out among the fans who pay for the tickets. We sit in a different spot. But we acknowledge that, yeah, it is absolutely very different and more expensive now. Yeah.
It's more of a commitment. But I take great hope and faith in that BYU has committees in place. They've got the evacuation route in place, the emergency preparedness plan. This culture was designed for that, Jerem.
I feel like our generation does not have a year supply like the generations before.
I feel like BYU
should.
Does.
I think
BYU food storage
athletics.
Is loaded up here.
Yeah. And BYU is not like, oh, we have so much money, we don't know what to do with it. It is a sacrifice for many people, to continue to contribute at the way they are. But people love BYU, and they want to contribute. And the donors have been amazing. And BYU's in a Power 4 league where they're getting a TV media rights deal that is more lucrative than they ever had. It's like, literally, if they get $50 million, what were they getting in the Mountain West 1 year? $1 million? It's 50 times more lucrative, perhaps, to be in this league than that league at that time. I mean, we're literally talking about 20 years later. Things have changed in a great way for BYU, and now you move forward.
I feel like it's time for the official disclaimer once again to remind people that funds from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have nothing to do with this, nor will they ever have anything to do with the $20.5 million annually that are involved here.
If the church wanted, it could be like, here's $25 million a year. Let's do it. It's zero.
They have
it
separated.
Zero.
BYU Athletics is its own operating entity.
They raise
its own overhead.
They sell their product. The Big 12 wanted them. Therefore, they get X. They raise their own money and distribute it that way. That's how it works.
Our question of the day.
Baylor's what?
How do all of you feel BYU Athletics will compete in this new world of college athletics? Are you hopeful? Or are you starting to freak out a little bit? At AndrewSmith94 on Instagram says, quote, not as optimistic as I am about competing in an unlimited NIL world.
Let's talk about that, because men's basketball is operating on a high NIL budget. There are donors who are making sure that BYU is going to be very competitive in that space. Will BYU be able to have the same sort of roster financially in the next couple of years, balancing football and everything else? I don't know those exact numbers. But it does feel like, okay, it's supposed to rein in kind of everybody. I think BYU is going to come up to the line and stare at it wherever the lines are. They're not going to cross it.
No.
They're going to approach that line and be competitive in that way. And I think they've done a great job up to this point. But it is a good question, right? How is this going to work with how much is devoted to football and how many good players you need in football? Basketball, you can pay 3 to 5 guys and be pretty good. Like bringing in A.J. DeBonta and Robert Wright III and make sure Richie returns, those are three notable guys,
yes.
Not to mention the rest of the roster. So it is a legit conversation to bring up.
BYU is never going to push the boundary, per se, as a collective entity. Like, I don't see them, flirting with disaster ever.
Right.
But they'll drive in the left lane. They'll drive in the fast lane safely.
Yeah.
But they're never going to do any aggressive, crazy stunt. They just won't.
No. Listen, just one example. Schools start building when they don't have the money for things often. BYU makes sure they have the money in hand, then build.
So different.
Like, very different, right? Very different.
All right. At Rowdy in the Rock continues on X.
Been getting a lot of love while you were gone, by the way. Like, first team all BYUSN poster right now.
I appreciate it.
Rowdy and the Rock. Yeah. They emerged.
I appreciate what Rowdy and the Rock is doing. And they're back.
Weighing in.
We will be competitive in terms of NIL and rev share, but the main reason players will come here will not be for the money.
Good point.
We will be nationally relevant. We will do it the right way. We will hold a high standard of ethics and honesty on and off the field.
There is the BYU way of doing things, right, Brandon?
Cultures.
Santiago has talked about this. And there are many critics on the outside. Well, A.J. DeBonta just went to BYU because it was the most money.
False.
Nope. There were other offers that were similar. What made it different wasn't just, and BYU has to compete in that space, is the coaching staff and the family feel and the fan base. And there are other reasons. And BYU has fewer and fewer reasons not to attract a lot of people now. They're in a power league.
Yeah.
NIL's a part of this. Like, if you don't want to be at BYU, sure, there are a million great schools. Come on. BYU's a special place, though. If you want this experience, it's ready for you.
Kevin Young is at the forefront, speaking of A.J. DeBonta and this basketball roster, of why these guys want to be here. Like, I know that it is a collective effort. There are many different avenues that all lead to pushing BYU basketball forward. But Kevin Young is the primary road. He's the primary road.
And this isn't the only place for people, but in the words of Kevin Young, he wants it to be the best place for players to prepare for the NBA.
And he joins Kalani in that. Kalani has said several times, look, I'm just like Kevin Young. I want BYU to become a feeder for the NFL.
Yes, and if you want a transactional experience, this is not it. As Travis Hanson said, this is a transformational experience. Yegor Demin didn't just benefit from the NIL he got here or even the coaching. It was much more than that as a person.
Which he stated.
Yeah, and if you don't want that experience, that's fine. We don't criticize anyone for not wanting that. What we do is welcome those who want it.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. How do all of you feel BYU athletics will compete in this new world of college athletics?
It is a new era. Like, today it begins. It's wild. We've been waiting for this house settlement. There it is. Coming up on Friday, join us for an encore presentation of 1984, 40 Years Strong and True, a two-hour Spencer Linton special.
Oh, boy.
Celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 84 National Championship team. It is a great watch. Friday, noon Eastern, right here on BYU TV.
That was a panel unlike any other.
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Up next, let's check in with the BYU men's track and field team, specifically the 4x400 team, on their expectations for the national championships this week. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Yeah, it's tough, but the accomplishment after is pretty sweet, too. Like, you feel like you did something.
For as individual of a sports tracker, we are nothing without
it. It just depends on the day, who's going to get the race, and we all want it just as bad as the other.
Happy Monday. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan.
Excited for the NCAA Outdoor National Championships coming up later this week in Eugene, Oregon. We talked recently with the men's 4x400 relay team. These dudes are fast. Hope they do great in Eugene. Shep and I spoke with all four of the guys in studio. All right, we've got the 4x400 men's relay team who have qualified for nationals. From right to left, starting in the back, we've got Trey Jackson, Jonah Haymooley, and then Eli Haslett, front left, Josh Taylor. Guys, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Who's sort of the captain here? Who's the leader of the group? Or is it all equal? How is this functioning?
Well, we got three old heads, one new guy.
And then Jonah's the new guy?
Definitely not me.
So let's pick on Jonah first then.
Yeah.
Jonah, what is it like to be a part of a team that qualified for nationals? And these guys have been there before, but you get to go to Eugene and run your heart out.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. It's been a big blessing to just learn from these guys, carrying me through the 4x4. I mean, they're on the top 10 board. Some of them hold records. So I'm just really privileged to be with them and practice with them every day.
We especially like you because you are the first cousin of our homie, Hema Haymooley, who works here. I actually got your dad's autograph when I was a kid after a game.
No way. That's
played running back, Hema Haymooley. Say hello to him. He's great.
I definitely will.
Let's talk to you, Eli. You were here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What's the bigger deal, qualifying for nationals or being engaged to Sammy Oblad? And the prep that goes into both of these is big time.
This is such a big, big answer for you.
I feel like that's a true question.
It's clearly Sammy, but how would you compare the pressure of both, I guess?
It's really fun because Sammy was able to qualify as well in the Open 4, so it's fun that we get to both kind of continue this season and kind of both have the end spot with nationals. But it's nice because with a group like this, like, for us three, we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, so we're pretty confident in each other. So any lack of confidence that like I have in myself going into a race, I just look at these guys and I kind of take it from there, you know.
So Josh, because you guys, the bulk of the team has been together, you guys certainly know each other and you've been through these battles before. How has this one felt this year? How has it been different? How has it felt the same? Take me through sort of the variations of what this year has felt like compared to other years.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've all been on the same relay team for quite a few years. And so knowing that this year is kind of the last run, you know, it's kind of built it up a little bit more and added on the pressure. But with that pressure, I feel like we've all put in a lot of hard work and we're ready to compete well.
Trey, talk to us about the moment when you realized, hey, we did it, we qualified. What was that like?
It was a relief. I think, you know, those qualifying rounds are by far the most stressful because it's like, you know, everything from that moment, right, is earned, right, and nothing's guaranteed. And so it was fun to go out, and I felt the pressure, like Josh said, in a great way to run for my teammates. I knew that it wasn't just my time, it would be our last time, and so it was a relief to get that one out of the way.
Because you guys are in a relay, obviously people are used to seeing you guys together. Is it one of those situations that when they don't see one person, if there's one person that's not in the group, it's like, hey, wait, something's off here. Like, do you guys spend a lot of time together? Because obviously we know any athlete, you perform well when you feel comfortable with your teammates and whatnot. Like, how much time away from the sport do you guys spend together? How much does that help?
We spend quite a bit of time at like practice and meets. And outside of track, I consider this my friend group. Like, I don't have friends in Provo other than like my cousins that are at BYU. So these are not just my teammates, like these are my homies. These are the guys I go play disc golf with on the off time. I go to dinner. We go to dinner almost every night with our fuel cards and such. But this is it right here.
Who's the best disc golf player?
I think Eli's got
it. Out of here, probably me. But we got a couple teammates that are pretty good too.
What else do you guys do together? What do you guys do? What else hobby-wise?
The guys have gotten us into fishing more. So my cast is still brand new in my garage. So like I still don't move out, but I know a lot of the guys go and fish, sneak onto like a golf course and go fishing. But that's like one of the things we do.
I don't know if you can say that.
If you guys were a boy band, what would the name be of this group? These are my homies.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I don't know. I've never thought of that.
Is there any musical talent here? Like, could we actually try this?
Oh, don't look at me.
Jonas,
no, this man, he. You know, there's a joke. It's like if there's a guy who did theater on the team, it had to be Jonah because this guy can sing, he can dance. And so I think he'd be the lead man, and the three of us would just be following.
I'll take the dancing, but not the singing. I'll take the dancing.
Okay, the opportunity to obviously just go as high as you can in Eugene is awesome. But what is that moment like, especially the three of you who have been there of, okay, we're in the most iconic venue perhaps in the world. I mean, in the U.S. for sure. Josh, what is it like to go to Eugene and like, okay, we're here at Nationals, let's do something.
Well, Eugene has eluded me the previous two times. We got disqualified 1 year, and then last year when these guys went, I unfortunately broke my toe and wasn't able to go.
So this is a big deal for you.
So running at Eugene's a big deal. I'm excited. Awesome. Just making that final and running with these guys in that final on Friday is going to be a dream. Like, obviously, it's probably the premier stadium in the world. So much history there. I want to go make some history ourselves.
When you guys look at what this season has been like so far for you, what stands out? Is there a moment that stands out in this year's journey?
I think I'll just say for us, it's like, I think individually we've been able to do great things, but I was having a conversation with Eli about this a few days ago. It's crazy how collectively I think we're so much better than we are individually and the confidence that we feel. And so I feel like this year more than anything, because we've been there so many times, had so many experiences, just being able to be consistent with our races together and have that confidence going through races, I think that's like been like the keystone of my college career, and it's been really fun to see.
Joni, you joined the team a little bit later. These guys have been together, you're now in it. We're told apparently there was like ski mask photos that were interesting at some point. What's the story here?
Just a media day shoot. You know, it's my first year, so I was like, oh, let's get some cool photos. Brought a ski mask and a putter.
You brought a ski mask and a putter?
I brought the ski mask and the putter.
Just to mix it up?
Just to mix it up, get some cool photos. I didn't think I'd be sharing this live on Sports Nation. But yeah, we have a couple of those in the vault.
Do you typically wear a ski mask while you're putting?
No, I usually don't. But I might have to try that out.
Or running? I mean,
it might help him, honestly, if you didn't see it.
What is the hardest thing about a 4x4 that people don't know about? Because we see, okay, you got to have the fast guys at the, you know, the, on the anchor and get out of the gate, and you got to hand off the baton. What's the tough stuff that we don't know about, Eli?
I think the hardest part is like the mentals an hour before. Like, you have to keep yourself focused, but you can't be so focused that you're psyching yourself out. Because as soon as, me personally, as soon as I get out on the track, you kind of go into flow state, tunnel vision, and all the nerves go away and just turn into adrenaline. But that hour to 2 hours before, when you're thinking about what you're drinking, what you're eating, you have to be focused and you have to be in it, but you have to be careful not to overdo it and psych yourself out.
Any rituals associated with that hour before that you guys do? Baseball's like super ritualistic, right?
Yeah.
Track, how is it for you guys?
I don't know. I have like a weird altitude breathing restriction mask that I like to wear that people call me Bane every time I come out. But it just,
like, do you feel in charge?
Yeah, like, it warms up the diaphragm a little bit, but nice. I don't know, besides that, I don't know about you guys.
I tie my shoes twice. I tie it, and then when we get back to the track, I retie it.
Then you retie. Okay.
So, yeah, that's the only thing I have.
Any other?
You just bust out the ski mask, I assume, and like get in the zone?
Maybe some Polynesian reggae music to calm me down.
But I love that.
You ran with a putter, though. That may intimidate anybody else that's on the track.
That might be our
baton
instead.
I do remember one thing. We all get together before every race, individual or the relay, and we all get a little group prayer going.
That's awesome.
And give grace, give gratitude. But that's the most ritualistic thing you could say.
That's one of the greatest rituals that exist.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Before a meal or otherwise.
Let's talk about the competition. Who's the toughest competition? What do you expect from this in Nationals?
Well, we got a run at Texas A&M at Regionals, and we want another crack at them. So I think they're kind of the...
A&M specifically?
Yeah.
Nice.
But obviously we got, you know, Big 12 rivals with ASU and...
Got some of the East teams, Florida.
It's
we
a really
haven't raced
close,
that much.
It's a really close field, though. I think, honestly, like, I wouldn't say there's like one dominant team. And so I think that gives us a lot of confidence going into it, knowing that we just have to have a good day and you know, put us right there with a lot of those guys.
Well, best of luck June 11th through the 14th in Eugene. We're excited to watch you guys compete, and we appreciate you guys coming in. I know several of you have been in here before. Jonah, first timer. Good to have you in here,
man.
Let's
hope there's more appearances.
Absolutely. Best of luck, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, we're going to give you the BYU Sports Nation karma. We cannot let you leave without
all the good luck.
Taking it all the way up there to the Pacific Northwest.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We joke about this, Jerem, but often it feels like we're referencing multiple record-breaking performances every week during track and field season.
It's been an unbelievable season. And these guys have the second fastest time in program history, which is incredible. So best of luck to them. 18 entries into Nationals starting June 11th through the 14th.
Don't be surprised
if
they go even faster.
Yeah, and BYU could have multiple national championships here. Let's go. There's some legit athletes. And the great thing about track is oftentimes there is a team element to it, but it's just like just you doing your thing against other individuals. Let's see who's the fastest. See who can throw this the furthest.
I love OG it. Sports.
I would say that in boxing.
Yeah.
Just straight
track and
punch
boxing.
You in the face. If you missed any of our face-punching interviews or episodes, Deep Blues and more, you can catch them all at BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
When we return, where longtime college basketball analyst Dick Vitale has BYU ranked in his dazzling dozen of men's college basketball, plus how some Cougars in the pros are performing.
This is BYU Sports Nation, speaking
BYU
of Bane.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to the show. Happy Monday. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
BYU has extended men's basketball head coach Kevin Young's contract. The extension will keep Coach Young at the head of BYU men's hoops for the foreseeable future. Led BYU to a 26-10 record last year. Sweet 16.
Beginning on July 1st, all Division I schools will be able to directly pay players for the first time in NCAA history. As a result of the recent House versus NCAA settlement, schools will begin with a $20.5 million revenue sharing cap with athletes. Under the settlement, there will also be no scholarship limits, but there will be roster limits. And NIL will remain, but will be overseen by a clearinghouse to make sure deals are a, quote, fair market value.
ESPN's Dick Vitale has BYU ranked 7th in his latest preseason rankings. Here's what Vitale said in the article. Oh. BYU's got a squad that's hotter than Provo in July, baby! Richie Saunders returns alongside Megan Transfers, Robert Wright III, and five-star AJ DeBonta! Watch out, Cougar fans! They got the PTPers! This team's legit, baby!
AJ's a diaper dandy, right?
He's a diaper dandy, Spence! Why is that? Why is he always yelling? Why? What are we yelling about?
Oh! BYU men's golf, specifically Peter Kim, earned all Big 12 honors from the conference. Kim had 5 separate top 5 finishes this season, including 4 in the top 3. Kim also tied for first at the Goodwin with a score of 5 under. BYU had a top 15 finish as a team in the national championships. Incredible year all around.
BYU steeplechaser James Corrigan has been named to the Bowerman Award watch list, given to the most outstanding male and female NCAA track and field athlete in the nation, the Heisman of track and field. Corrigan will compete in the NCAA championships later this week.
The dude's an Olympian, for crying out loud.
Yes, he is.
BYU track and field commit Jane Hedengren competed in the Brooks PR Invitational over the weekend. Jane ran a record-breaking 2 mile with a time of 9 minutes, 17 seconds, 75 hundredths. Blazing. Beating her own national record by 17 seconds. This woman is the truth. She currently holds 9 indoor and outdoor high school records. She hasn't even started running at BYU.
She's unbelievable. Is AJ DeBonta is the Jane Hedengren of basketball. Whew. Does that make sense? Like, she's legit. Kai Nakua, how about this? A pick 6 to help the Michigan Panthers win a spot in the UFL championship game with a 44-29 win over Birmingham. And Isaiah Banya had a sack for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in a 13-26 loss to the Calgary Stampeders.
Zach Seljaas, former BYU men's basketball player, scored 15 points in a Würzburg loss to Ulm in Game 3 of their Bundesliga semifinal series. Game 4 goes down tomorrow. Seljaas and Würzburg trail 2-1 in the series.
That look is very like Kenny Powers for Zach. Rick Mozingo scored a goal for the 3rd straight game for the Utah Royals in a 3-2 loss to Racing Louisville. Here it is. Boom.
I'm still thinking about Zach Seljaas' haircut.
The old Kentucky mug flap.
BYU baseball announces the signing of right-handed pitcher Nate Gray. He transfers to BYU from Pima Community College. The 6'5" right-hander went 10-2 in 28 appearances, 3.66 earned run average, 101 strikeouts in his 2 years at PCC. All right, up next.
But not that PC.
Nope, not that one. Not that one. Our Deep Blue segment features BYU baseball assistant coach Adam Law and his unique journey to BYU, or should I say back to BYU. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Growing up, former BYU baseball star Adam Law wanted to follow in the footsteps of his dad, Vance, and grandfather, Vern, and achieve major league success. However, when life threw Adam a curveball, he realized another path had to be prepared for him to continue in the game of baseball, albeit in a unique way. This is Deep Blue featuring Adam Law.
I grew up 8 minutes away from BYU, son of loving parents. Grew up in a sports family. My dad was a Major League All-Star. His dad was a Cy Young Award winner and World Series champion. As I got older, the weight and the pressure felt a little more because I would wake up in the morning and I would walk out and see all this kind of family history stuff and who we are.
I know growing up, when everyone on your team, all the dads of the players, everyone knows who your grandpa is, who your uncle is. For Adam, who your dad is, that's a lot to live up to.
Subsequently, my uncles, my dad, myself, and my cousins feel similar pressure of, we need to be the very best in order to be fulfilled, which it's not fair because my grandfather never meant that for us.
I was, I think, pretty much aware that he doubted how good he could be. I remember the first day of walk-on tryouts, he considered himself a walk-on.
I kind of felt the expectation that I should be really, really good because my dad was really, really good. And I grew up around the game. I practiced like crazy. So you had that pressure, but then literal incapabilities to impact the baseball hard, to throw the baseball hard. I couldn't do it. When the ball wasn't coming off of my bat the same way that it was coming off of others, it kind of reinforced my belief of myself of, man, I'm not really good, even though I should be good because I was a law.
At times, people questioned, why would I recruit him to go to BYU to play? I felt like with a little bit of time, with weight training, he had the makings of becoming one of the best players.
After my freshman year at BYU, I chose to serve a mission and was called to the Zimbabwe Harare mission. I grew up as a human being. I learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I learned how to live on my own. And then I grew into my body physically, which set me up for success in several aspects of life when I came home.
I know that he proved himself. He became an all-conference player and was drafted to play in a major league affiliate. Not everybody is able to do that, and certainly not just coach's kids. If he's on the team just because he's a coach's kid, then I made a mistake. But I knew what he could develop into.
So it was 2019. I was with the Seattle Mariners. I was actually promised that I was gonna be with either AA or AAA for the entire season. I showed up to the ballpark the day we were supposed to leave on our first road trip to play the Reno Aces to open up the season. I had bought a new suit coat in preparation for the flight and also for preparation when I got the call to go to the major league so I could look sharp. The manager called me into the office. When that happens in AAA, you're either going up to the major leagues, you're being promoted to the major leagues, or you're being released. And given the information from the director of player development, there was no way I was going home because I had been told that I'd have a job for the whole year. So when the manager told me, Adam, I need to meet with you in the office, my mind immediately went to, holy cow, I'm getting called up to the major leagues.
I saw his name pop up on my phone and I was like, oh, this is weird. He usually doesn't call at this time. He should be practicing. So I hurried and walked out and I answered it, and he was just crying on the phone and I was really concerned. I was like, oh my gosh, like what just happened? And then he had said that the manager from the team called him in and released him.
You spent 7 years of your life really giving it your all, coupled with the family pressure. And I know I talk about it, that it doesn't matter, that I broke through and I could play for my own, but it was still there. And I knew my dad and grandpa, they would love for that to happen. We all would have loved for it to happen. And now I have to make like the opposite phone call. I'm coming home.
We spoke that day. What are you going to do to control what you can control? And are you going to have a champion mentality, or are you going to have a victim mentality on this? You get to decide your destiny. You get to decide your timeline and what your future looks like when you want to stop playing baseball.
The team that had drafted me, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they called me and he goes, we know you spent your mission in Africa. We want to open up an academy in Africa. Would you be willing to go over and help start it up? Had I chosen not to serve a mission, I wouldn't be here today. I can't think of one person who had spent 2 years of their life in Africa who could go back and do that, who had played professionally. I get that opportunity. I acquire skills as a coach in order to come back home to BYU. God's certainly in the details.
You know, you give somebody advice, hopeful that they would take it, hopeful that it would sink into them. And I was so pleased to begin to see the direction that he'd taken with his life. that he wanted to get into performance psychology, that he wanted to really help others on this path, things that he had struggled with, and in order to carve his future and make his mark in helping others.
He has so much knowledge about the game. He played the game for so long, but he also offers so much knowledge from the mental side. He's offered, you know, the whole team, you can meet with him one-on-one, you know, once a week, twice a week, however often you need. I've never had someone I've been able to talk to every week about anything in my life. It's weird having a coach be almost like, you know, a friend, a best friend, you know, someone that you just can tell about anything. And he's always there for you.
A lot of people would be a lot, like, be cocky about all the stuff that they have achieved and, like, under Luke and, like, trying to override. He's not that. Adam is one of the greatest listeners I know. Coming from somebody who talks too much like me, he listens a lot. Not only does he listen a lot, but he likes to make sure that all your ideas are taken in.
He assists people being able to deal with the failure of baseball and not just dwell on it, recognizing that it's not the result, it's the process that you go through, and always remembering that the process is more important than the result.
I'm incredibly proud of the family that I come from, the things that Grandpa, my dad, and even myself have done in baseball. I'm fortunate for the experiences that I've had, but there's more to life than baseball. And part of fulfilling a dynasty is to do good in the lives of others, on and off the field. So when you ask me, what legacy do I want to leave? I want you to talk to Kaysen Bell or go to Isaac in 20 years and him say, Adam helped me become a better person. He was fun to be around. He was energetic and positive. He helped me become the best version of myself. That would be sufficient for me.
What a story.
I love Adam Law. We got to know him at Provo High when he was in high school. And then we covered him and called his games at BYU, and now he's back and just see who he's become. And I actually saw a spring training game that year. He thought he was going to make the majors. I'm a Mariners fan. I'm reaching out to him. I'm like, dude, this is so exciting. Yeah. It was devastating for him. It was devastating. And you can tell it still hurts that he didn't make it to the majors. And frankly, I was excited to. I was going to be like, dude, I'll fly for a game. This would be great. But he has turned this into a positive and a legacy, and he's affecting people. And that family has done so much good. And obviously, we love the whole family. His brothers played at BYU as well. That's a baseball family. But baseball is a huge part of who they are, but it's not everything, as he talked about.
Without question, his grandpa and his dad, the two guys who broke into the big leagues and did great things there, are proud of what he is doing right now.
Yeah.
And speaking of that baseball legacy, we learned recently that Adam's grandfather, Vern Law, will be enshrined into the Pittsburgh Pirates Hall of Fame this season.
How is he not in the Hall of Fame already?
Cy Young.
He won the Cy Young Award on the team that won the World Series in 1960. So, yeah, the Laws are great. The Laws are a great family. They are awesome.
After the break, a special rise and shout out and more of your responses to our question of the day about the future of BYU athletics. This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps to listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day, how do you feel BYU athletics will compete in this new world of college athletics? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. From @CL_living on X, who says, quote, BYU will compete for the best players because the national exposure will be there. And they ain't playing no Bo Diddley Tech.
Well, hopefully a non-conference a little bit. One or two games. That's funny.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
It's to BYU volleyball setter Alex Bauer, who posted on her Instagram about being diagnosed with an abnormal heartbeat and a hole in her heart. She had cardiac ablation surgery. She is feeling much better. That's scary. We're glad she's doing better. Also, shout out to Gavin Chambers and Claire Little, both on the volleyball teams. They got married over the weekend, so congratulations.
Very cool. It's kind of a big deal, right?
It is a big deal to have that surgery and get married. Those are two big things. I'm glad Alex is feeling better. That's a little scary.
Thanks to all of our guests today. There were several, the 4x400 meter relay team and Adam Law in his deep blue.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com, and of course the conversation continues on X, Instagram, and Facebook 24/7.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Tuckett Slade. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs!
Tuckett Slade's one of the greatest names of anybody on campus. So good.